Because she works, she's not supposed to have a life?
I swallowed hard. Is she dating him still? Amelia pursed her lips.
I have no clue, and I didn't feel it was my place to ask her why he was there.
Scrubbing my hands down my face, I moaned.
Fuck.
I dropped my arms to my sides. What do I do, Melly? Her expression turned soft, and she shook her head.
Do you have any idea how much I long to have a man look at me the way you do, Paxton? A love like that is worth fighting for. And, unfortunately, I've never experienced it. So I don't know what to tell you, Steed. The only thing I can say is don't give up, because I'm positive she doesn't want you to.
The sadness in my sister's eyes made my heart ache. I walked over to her and kissed the top of her head. You know there will never be a guy out there good enough for you, Amelia. She chuckled and hugged me.
Fight for her, Steed. Show her you made a mistake and that you'll do whatever it takes to make it up to her.
Feel any better? Tripp asked as he walked on the other side of Chloe. Each of us held her hand, swinging her every now and then. He'd been at the house this morning, and I'd snagged him to help me drop Chloe off at school, afraid to face Paxton alone. No, I grumbled.
Mitchell said you did a number on yourself last night.
I laughed. Yeah, well, nothing like drowning your sorrows in alcohol, right?
Did it help?
Glancing at him, I half-smiled. For a little while.
And therein lies the problem. It's a temporary numb.
I nodded. Sometimes it feels good to feel nothing.
That doesn't make any sense, Daddy, Chloe said as she tugged our hands.
One, two, three, I said. Tripp and I swung her again. We rounded the corner of the school, and my breath caught when I saw her.
Uncle Tripp, this is my school. That's my teacher.
Chloe dropped my hand and pulled Tripp toward Paxton. About half the parents were already dropping their kids off in the morning drop-off line rather than walking them up. Fuck that. I knew if I walked Chloe up, I'd get to see Paxton. Plus, I wanted to spend as much time with Chloe as I could.
Long time no see, Paxton, Tripp said while Paxton flashed him a smile. You saw Uncle Tripp last night, Ms. Monroe?
I breathed a sigh of relief. Thank God Chloe didn't call her Paxton. With a sweet laugh that settled nicely in my chest, Paxton answered,
Yes, I saw your daddy and other uncles, too.
Chloe grinned from ear to ear.
Are you and Daddy going to date again?
Everyone turned to look at me, including one of the moms. Oh, shit.
Chloe, why don't you go line up with the other students? But...
Paxton regarded Chloe and raised an eyebrow. The argument was over, and Chloe walked to the other kids. Turning her focus on me, Paxton's hands went to her hips. Lifting my palms in defense, I said, Amelia said something in front of Chloe. I didn't say a thing. Tripp frowned.
Why would she say something?
I don't know. She's stupid.
Steed, Paxton said. We don't use those words. Honestly, I'm going to have to ban the parents from walking up.
The first bell rang and Paxton turned quickly, making her way to her students. Chloe turned and stared at me. Her eyes started to build with tears.
Oh, no, she's going to cry again, I whispered.
What? Tripp said with horror in his voice. Paxton walked up to the students and called out,
Shave and a haircut?
They all stopped talking and replied, Two bits. With their complete attention, she gave them instructions on walking into the building. I couldn't help but smile. I glanced over to Tripp, who wore a happy expression, too. Remember Mom used to sing that to get all of our attention? I said with a laugh.
Yeah, looks like Paxton uses it for the same thing.
Nodding, I glanced at the door, hoping Paxton would turn back. She didn't, and that wounded me more than I wanted to admit. At the same time, my heart soared as I watched her walk into the building holding Chloe's hand. Tripp hit my arm.
Let's go. Dad needs me to pick up some paperwork for him.
We headed back to my truck. So how much do you know about what happens in this town of ours? Tripp laughed.
I know a lot.
Do you know if Joe Miller's dating Paxton? Tripp stopped walking and looked at me.
I can find out, if you really want to know.
I felt like a creeper, but I needed to know, and if I asked Paxton, she might lie and tell me yes just to piss me off.
Do it, I said as I opened the truck door and climbed in.
Chapter 9 Paxton. September flew in like a storm. Literally. The cold front toppled the tent set up for the fall festival, one of our main fundraisers. And if we couldn't get everything set back up, it would mean a lot of lost money for the school. Paxton, we need more help. I can't hammer this stupid tent stake in, Karina called out. I let out a frustrated groan. First and fourth grade were in charge of parent volunteers for this year's fall festival. It rotated with each year for the different grades. Karina was having a hell of a time trying to round up this year's first grade parents to help with anything. We were almost a month into the school year, and she still didn't have a classroom parent. Who in the hell could I call to help? Joe crossed my mind, but if I called him, he'd get the wrong idea, like he did 3 weeks ago when he walked me home from Cord's bar. It was stupid of me to use him as a shoulder to cry on. When he leaned in to kiss me, I put the brakes on fast. Let me call my dad, I said. The wind blew hard, and the temperature was dropping. If it kept falling, it would be too cold for the kids to enjoy themselves. My father's phone rang, and I prayed he would answer.
Hey there, sweetheart.
Dad, I need help. We're trying to set up for the fall festival, and none of the dads showed up to help us. This wind is kicking our butts.
Who's all there?
I glanced around. Me, Karina, about 3 other teachers who got subs, and 4 moms. My father covered the phone, talking to someone.
I think I found you some help.
Really? Oh, Dad, that would be amazing. Are they strong? He simply laughed. I'll take that as a yes. Are you at a delivery?
Yes, darling. We'll be there in a bit to help.
Smiling, I gave Karina a thumbs up. Okay, Daddy, be careful. Hitting end, I ran over to Karina. My dad was at a delivery and rounded up some help. Thank goodness. I'm sorry my volunteers bugged out. It's okay. We may need to pull out last year's list and see if we can recruit some parents. If they didn't show for setup, it's unlikely they will want to work the booths tomorrow, especially if it's on the cold side. Karina placed her hands on her hips. If I see them walking around with cotton candy, I'm going to shove it up their a-holes. Smiling, I shook my head. I loved my best friend. I'd have been kicked out of A&M if it hadn't been for her. When a position opened for a first-grade teacher, I pretty much told her I'd do anything to have her here. We got to work, taking turns hitting the stake with the hammer. Damn rock, I said as I hit it, and nothing happened. Karina dropped to the ground and sighed. I'm exhausted. How are you not tired? Laughing, I answered. My father delivers feed, remember? I used to help with 50-plus pound bags of the stuff. She stared. That explains your upper arm strength. To be honest, when he said your father grew and sold feed, I had no idea what in the hell you were talking about. At first I thought you said weed. I stopped mid-swing and stared at her before we both started laughing. Let's hope he was delivering at a ranch with lots of young guys to help. Karina's eyes lit up. Cowboys! Yes, please, and thank you. Growing up outside of Chicago, Karina still wasn't used to all the cowboys, especially in our small town. At College Station, she got a taste of it, but there was nothing that screamed real cowboy as much as living in small-town Texas. They were everywhere. 30 minutes later, a truck honked. I smiled and waved as my father pulled up and parked. Then 2 other trucks pulled in next to him. I swallowed hard. Please, God, no. Then the 4th truck pulled up, and my heart dropped to my stomach. Oh, no. What's wrong? Karina asked. He was at the Parker Ranch. Parker as in the X? As in the richest family in this county? With a fake chuckle, I replied, Yes, as in the X, and expand that to at least 10 counties. Truck doors started opening, and they all piled out. Holy mother of all creations! Sweet Jesus! I've died and gone to cowboy heaven, Karina purred. Slowly turning to her, I had to smile. She truly did look like she had died and gone to heaven. Karina, you've got a bit of drool on the side of your mouth there. She mindlessly reached up and wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. Cowboys! Look at them all. They're all... Are they all... Oh, Lord. Squeezing her on the arm, I said, Oh, stop it. Yes, it's the Parker boys. Now snap out of it, Karina. They're just guys. Her head snapped over to me. Are you not seeing what I'm seeing? Because what I see are five guys. Five guys in jeans and cowboy hats. No, wait. Five drop-dead gorgeous guys in cowboy hats and cowboy boots. She glanced back at them, then focused on me. And they're dirty. I laughed. That they are. Every single one of them. Karina swallowed hard. I meant their clothes are dirty. Peeking back over at them, I replied, Yeah, that too. Oh, Lord, my heart. My father walked up, wearing a shit-eating grin. I knew exactly what he was doing. He'd always loved Steed. Hell, he loved all the Parker boys. I could only imagine the smile on his face when I asked for help, and he was standing in the middle of them all.
Look who I stumbled upon this morning.
I lifted my brow. I see. My parents had stopped pressing me long ago about why Steed left town and why we had broken up. I didn't think I would ever have the courage to tell them. Once my mother found out Steed was back, I could tell her and Daddy had been itching to start up with the questions again. I talked about Chloe a few times, but not in great detail. I'd thought it would be harder having her in my class, but I found myself drawn more and more to her, and it wasn't only because she was Steed's daughter. She had a heart of gold, and was one of the sweetest students I'd ever had.
"You asked for help,"
my father said with an evil smirk, as Mitchell, Tripp, Cord, Trevor, and last but certainly not least, Steed, walked up. I tried like hell not to let my eyes linger on Steed, but it was hard. His tight black t-shirt showed off how he'd gotten in even better shape than he was at 18, and those jeans. I had to fight to make myself breathe. The matching black cowboy hat made his steel-blue eyes pop, and when my gaze caught his, I quickly glanced away. My heart was beating so fast, and I had a hard time focusing. Get it together, Paxton. So, you brought all five of the Parker boys?
Boys? Trevor said with a laugh. Hell, woman, you've got yourself a bunch of strong men.
Karina mumbled something I couldn't understand. Grabbing her, I pulled her toward the four sets of hungry eyes. The only one who wasn't looking at Karina was Steed. He hadn't taken his eyes off of me yet. This is my best friend, Karina. We went to A&M together. She teaches first grade here in Oak Springs. Mitchell and Tripp pushed each other to get to Karina first. Tripp won. Taking her hand, he lifted it to his lips.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Karina. My name is Tripp Parker.
Something slipped from her mouth. A giggle moan? I rolled my eyes. But deep down, I was happy to see the guys giving her attention. Karina was beautiful. She had a sweet innocence to her. She almost always wore her blonde hair in a pony, unaware of how beautiful she was. Men tripped over themselves, and she was clueless to all of it. She dated a couple of guys while we were in College Station, and one of them had broken her heart when she caught him cheating. Karina finally found her voice. Nice to meet you, Tripp. Mitchell pushed Tripp out of the way. Imitating his brother, he took Karina's hand and kissed the back of it.
Mitchell Parker, it's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am.
Lord have mercy, Karina whispered. Mitchell flashed that smile, and I was pretty sure Karina was melting on the spot. When he winked, she leaned into me. Oh, for the love of all that's good. I pushed Mitchell away. We have work to do. Karina, stay away from Tripp. He's in politics.
Hey,
Tripp cried out. Mitchell here, he's a Texas Ranger. Karina perked up. A baseball player? Mitchell laughed.
You're not from Texas, are you, sweetheart?
Looking at me with huge eyes, Karina smiled and then turned back to Mitchell. Chicago. He nodded.
Well, Karina from Chicago, Texas Rangers are a baseball team, but they are also an elite group of police officers.
Tripp huffed behind Mitchell. You're a police officer? Karina asked with dreamy eyes. Mitchell's grin grew wider.
Yes, ma'am.
When her teeth sank into her lip, I pulled her away. Karina, this is Cord Parker. He owns Cord's place. Karina reached out her hand, and Cord followed suit.
Pleasure is all mine.
Nice to meet you, Cord. Stopping in front of Trevor, I took a deep breath. He was the one I was most worried about. Karina, this is Trevor. He may be the youngest brother, but I think he is the most dangerous. Trevor tossed his head back to laugh before staring straight at Karina.
Hell yeah, I am.
Nice to meet you, Trevor, Karina said as she held her hand out. Trevor looked down at it and then grinned like he had just made the catch of the day.
Hell, girl, any friend of Paxton's is a friend of mine. Come here.
Before I knew it, Karina was wrapped up in Trevor's arms. He lifted her off the ground. She let out a small yelp and laughed. When he put her down, her cheeks were flushed. Nice, Trevor, I said with a roll of my eyes. I wanted to turn and walk away without even introducing her to Steed, but I couldn't do that in front of my daddy. He'd raised me better than that. Steed was still staring at me, but turned to Karina and smiled politely. He reached his hand out and shook hers.
Steed Parker, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Karina snapped her head over and gave me an inquisitive stare. Steed? This is him? I chewed on my lip. Please don't make a scene, Karina. With pleading eyes, I replied, Yes, Karina, this is Steed. He just moved back from Oregon with his daughter, Chloe. Karina plastered on a fake smile. Well, I've heard a lot about you. Steed's grin faded as he cleared his throat.
I'm sure you have.
Leaning in so only he could hear, Karina whispered, I'd like to grab you by the balls and push them up into your throat for what you did to her. His eyes grew wide, and he took a step back. I clapped my hands. Great! Okay, since we have manpower here, we need to get all these tents up, and they have to be staked into the ground good with this front blowing in. Trevor was the first to get after it.
Let's do this shit.
Steve paused in front of me, but then followed Cord to another tent without saying a word. I tried not to let the hurt show. After all, I was the one pushing him away. Why would I expect him to stop and talk? Chapter 10 Paxton. He can't keep his eyes off of you, Karina whispered.
So what? I said as I peeked over at Steed.
I wouldn't admit to Karina, and could barely admit it to myself, but my chest fluttered, and my stomach dropped each time I caught Steed watching me. She sighed, and I stopped setting up the booth and turned to her.
What?
She shrugged. I don't know. He looks so... sad.
So?
I really don't care if he's sad or not. Paxton, you don't really mean that. I know you still care for him. She was wrong. I still loved him. My father walked up with a smile, as usual.
Darling, we've got all the tents up, but I think the boys need to be getting back to their place. I pulled them away, and they've got work to do.
I hugged him. Thank you, Daddy, for bringing help. He pushed me back and gave me a wink.
Well, as soon as they heard y'all were in trouble, they were eager to help.
A rush of guilt washed over me, knowing I had avoided the Parker family for so long, and the moment I put out the call for help, they didn't think twice. With a chuckle, I said, Sounds like the Parker boys. Karina stood next to me. Paxton, those are not boys. They are 100% men. My father laughed while I rolled my eyes. Mitchell approached, wiping his hands, and I couldn't help but notice how Karina seemed to stand a little taller, and her eyes got a little brighter.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Karina.
Mitchell reached out for her hand and shook it. I could tell she was a bit disappointed. Maybe she wanted another swoon moment with him kissing the back of her hand. Tripp was next, and practically pushed Mitchell out of the way. He was happy to kiss the back of Karina's hand.
Karina, it's been an honor working alongside you. Maybe we'll meet up again soon.
With a wide grin, Karina replied, I'd like that. My eyes swung over to Mitchell. He didn't look pleased as he headed to Trevor's truck. I thanked each of the guys with a hug, then glanced around for Steed. He wasn't standing with his brothers. I glanced over my shoulder and saw him talking to Gina Higgins. When did Gina get here? I asked Karina. She shrugged. No clue. Seems like she has her eyes on your man. I huffed. He isn't my man, Karina. Turning away, I walked my father to his truck. Cord stood there, smiling.
Paxton, you really should stop by my folks' place sometime. I know Mom would love to see you.
The ache in my heart grew. I loved Melanie, and missed her more than I could say. I'd love that, I replied softly. He nodded, then stared past me.
He's not interested in her.
I glanced over my shoulder. Gina was trying her best to keep Steed's interest. When our eyes met, I looked back at Cord. I wouldn't care if he was. His brows lifted.
Really? Because the way you glared over there a minute ago screamed like you cared.
Before I had a chance to respond, Trevor honked, causing me to jump and yell. Cord shot him the finger. Tripp and Mitchell laughed as the Ford backed up and headed out of the parking lot. My father waved goodbye from where he stood beside his truck.
Bye, sweet girl. I need to run.
Thank you again for coming to my rescue, Daddy. He laughed.
Don't thank me. Thank the boys.
I smiled. Be careful, and give Mom a kiss and hug for me. Climbing into his truck, he shut the door and called out,
Will do.
Cord still stood there, staring like he knew something I didn't. I opened my mouth to talk, but instantly shut it when a rush of energy zipped through my body, starting at my lower back, where Steed had placed his hand.
Paxton, do you have a minute to talk?
My eyes were fixed on Cord, as if my life depended on it. The bastard turned and headed to the passenger side of Steed's truck.
Please, Pax, Steed said.
My eyes closed. The sound of his pleading settled around my aching heart. When I turned to him, I had to hold my breath. My God, he was so handsome. An older version of the boy I fell so madly in love with. Fine, but not here. I don't want parents gossiping.
Okay. Where?
The words were out of my mouth before I could stop them. We can meet at my house later this evening. He smiled, and my legs wobbled. Pointing at him, I said, Don't get any ideas. The way his gaze searched my face had me fighting for air. He looked like he wanted to kiss me. And honest to God, if we hadn't been where we were, I probably would have let him. Before I need him in the balls, of course.
What time? I'll need to make arrangements for Chloe.
There went that ache in my chest again. 5. Is that early enough so you won't miss her bedtime or anything? His eyes turned sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that works great.
I nodded. Fine, I'll text you the address. Spinning on my boot heels, I walked toward the booth where Karina was standing. I had to concentrate on breathing, especially since I could feel Steed's eyes on me. One glance over my shoulder proved I was right. I gave him a weak smile as my heart raced. I didn't want to forgive him. I wanted to be angry, but my heart was beginning to win the war against my head. When I got to the booth, I felt more eyes on me. This time they were Gina's, and they were filled with anger. I stood in front of the mirror and groaned. Why did I tell him to come here? Karina sat on the edge of my bed. Because deep down you want something to happen? My mouth dropped open as I stared at her in the mirror. I do not, she laughed. Please, you two gaze at each other like you're starving for one another. Falling onto the bed, she covered her heart. Oh, to have a love like that. I huffed. You're insane. I don't look at him like that, and he certainly doesn't look at me like that. Besides, you saw him talking to Gina. Karina sat up. Please. Gina is a money-grubbing S-L-U-T. Steed's not interested in her. She keeps throwing herself at him. Trust me. I was watching. Since when did you become a Steed fan? I asked, pulling my hair up and braiding it. Oh, I'm not. Believe me. When he introduced himself, I wanted to junk punch him. His pretty face was a bit of a distraction, though. Karina winked, and I couldn't help but chuckle. He is handsome. I won't argue with you on that. Hell, they are all handsome. And bodies like gods. What in the heck did their mother drink while pregnant? Laughing, I dropped in one of the chairs in my bedroom. When we were younger, oh man, the girls would go crazy for the Parker brothers. Tripp's the oldest, and Lord, did the girls throw themselves at him. It was almost kind of sad. Did he ever date anyone? Yeah, he had a serious girlfriend, Harley. They broke up, and he kind of started the path for the whole Parker man-whore legend. I think she broke his heart, and the only way he could get over it was to sleep with every girl he could. Karina rolled her eyes. What about Mitchell? I smiled. He's always been the serious one. Anytime the boys wanted to do something that was borderline wrong, Mitchell tried to talk them out of it. Explains the cop thing, then. Yeah, I think he's probably the shyest out of all the guys. Huh, interesting. Karina stood. I guess I better head out before Steed gets here. My chest tightened as panic set in. Maybe I should call and tell him another night. Karina placed her hands on my arms and pierced my eyes with hers. Paxton, you need to talk to him. You've been needing to talk to him since the day he walked away. You won't be able to move on if you guys don't sort this out. I know you say you don't have feelings for him, but I'm your best friend, and I know that's a lie. I see the way you look at him. Talk to him, honey. You can't keep this inside much longer. A single tear slipped from my eye and made a slow trail down my face. I know, I whispered. Squeezing my arms, Karina gave me a reassuring smile. Tell him how he hurt you, Paxton. Get it out there in the open and close this chapter of your life. Then you can decide if Steed Parker is part of the next chapter or not. My chin trembled, and all I could do was nod. Karina kissed me on the forehead and turned to leave. A quick peek at the clock told me I had 15 minutes until Steed would get here. Karina stopped at the door. Maybe you should take a shot of something. Jerking my head back, I asked, Why? Because you're shaking like a leaf. She winked. After Karina left, I stood there for a few moments staring at the door. Taking a deep breath, I let my mind go back to the day that changed everything. Everyone was celebrating the fact that we had graduated high school. Everyone but me. The cramps in my stomach were a constant reminder that I had lost the baby in the early morning hours. I was so tired. I'd driven myself to the hospital and sat there alone while the doctor told me what had happened. Steed sat down next to me and reached for my hand. Pulling it from him, I turned to him. Don't touch me. His eyes were sad, but I didn't care.
Pax, please. I'm so sorry I wasn't there.
You did this! The horror on his face should have made me regret my words, but I didn't. I meant every single word I said.
Please, can we go somewhere and talk?
Talk about what, Steed? There's nothing your words can say to make it better. He reached for my hand again, and this time I didn't fight it.
Maybe I should leave for a few weeks.
My head whipped as I stared at him. What? Why? He looked at the ground.
You're upset, and we both need time to wrap our heads around this.
Standing, I glared at him. You're running. That's what you're doing. You piece of shit. You're leaving me. Again. How could you do this? Steed stood.
Wait, Paxton. That's not what I meant.
I pushed him as hard as I could. I hate you. I hate you so much right now. Leave. Go run and hide. I never want to see you again. And I swear to God, the next time I see you, if you even think of speaking to me, I'll cut your dick off and shove it down your damn throat.
Paxton, wait.
He reached for me, and I screamed. I'd never seen Steve look so scared in my life. The way he jerked his hands away with a look of horror had me wanting to tell him I was sorry. But I didn't.
I'd never hurt you, Paxton. Ever.
You've already hurt me more than you could ever know. Please, just leave me alone, Steed. Just leave. My eyes snapped open, and I inhaled a quick breath. The memory of that day swirled in my head. Turning, I walked into the kitchen, grabbed a bottle of rum and a Diet Coke, and made myself a drink. The drink hit my empty stomach, making me groan. My eyes closed. I pushed him away. I was the one who told him to leave and never come back. I never in my wildest dreams thought he would take it to heart.
Chapter 11. Steed. When I pulled up to Paxton's house, I couldn't help but smile. It looked like a place she would fall in love with. Paxton had always talked about owning one of the older homes in the center of town. I'd bet anything she bought it and remodeled it, bringing it back to life from an old, dull farmhouse. Turning off the truck, I ran my hand through my hair and took in a deep breath. I'd waited 10 years to have this conversation, and I couldn't get my damn hands to stop shaking. As I stepped onto the porch, I took a quick peek around. I chuckled when I saw the two black rocking chairs. All the times we had sat on my parents' porch and talked about our future. I couldn't look at a black rocking chair without thinking of Paxton. My arms felt like lead as I stared at her door. I finally pressed the doorbell. Less than 10 seconds later, the door opened. The air from my lungs was gone in an instant. The most beautiful woman in the world stood in front of me. Paxton was wearing a light blue dress that hung from her body in all the right ways. My eyes lingered on her bare feet before I dragged them back up, and smiled when I saw the braid coming around the side of her head. "Hey," I said, barely above a whisper. I couldn't read her eyes, but it was like she could read mine. She didn't say a word as she turned and walked into the house. Lifting my eyebrows, I followed her in and shut the door. "Want a drink?" she called out as she made her way to the large, open kitchen. I scanned the living room as I made my way through it. "No, thanks." She laughed. "Well, I'm having another." We stopped at a large island, and Paxton poured rum into a glass followed by Diet Coke. When she downed it, my mouth nearly dropped to the floor. "You okay?" I asked. Her eyes snapped on mine, and she slowly shook her head. "No, Steed, I'm far from okay. I haven't been okay since you walked away from me the night of graduation." I swallowed hard. I was confused, Paxton. You were telling me you hated me. You told me to leave. I did hate you, and I did want you to leave. A tear made its way down her cheek. Some nights when I'm alone in bed, I hate you all over again. Pumpkin, I'm so sorry. She laughed. So sorry for what? That you left me to deal with the loss of our child? That you didn't care enough to come back? Or maybe that you ended up knocking up another woman, but decided she was worth sticking around for? Anger raced through me. You told me it was my fault, Paxton, that you never wanted to see me again. What in the hell was I supposed to do? She slammed her glass on the granite counter. Stay. You were supposed to stay, goddammit. Not leave me. I shook my head. You told me to leave. Her lips pressed together. I didn't want you to leave, Steed. I was hurting and scared, and I just had to deal with taking myself to the hospital where I lost our baby. I had no one to talk to. A loud sob slipped from between her lips, and it hit me right in the gut. She dropped her head and started crying. I moved around the island, but she held up her hand to stop me. Taking a few steps away, she looked up, and I nearly fell to the ground. Her face was soaked in tears.
I lost her. Then I lost you. Paxton, I whispered. Then I lost me, Steed. A part of me never came back until you walked into my classroom that night. That small, small.
She attempted to keep her sobs at bay, but struggled, speaking.
That small part of me that died when you left, it came back to life. And I think that made me hate you all over again.
This was the reason I never came back. I was a fucking coward. Paxton looked me in the eyes and asked,
"Why didn't you come back?"
I didn't even bother trying to keep my tears back. The only woman I ever loved was hurting, and it was my fault. Again. Because of this, seeing how much I keep hurting you, it kills... I had to clear my throat to keep speaking. It kills me knowing what I did to you and our child. When I left, I was consumed with researching miscarriages. When you said I caused it to happen, I knew it was the truth. Paxton stood there staring at me, her arms wrapped around her body. I started drinking to try and drown out your cries. My jaw ached from trying so hard to keep my emotions in check. It never worked. They only got louder. Your voice repeated in my head that you hated me. And I knew if I came back, this would happen and you'd hate me all over again. I was a coward, and I couldn't handle seeing you. Seeing you. My head dropped, and I had to take in a few deep breaths. I almost quit school, she said. Jerking my head up, I asked, What? Paxton leaned against the counter as she wiped her cheeks. Streaks of black smeared her beautiful face. When you never came back that summer, I knew you were never coming back. It hurt so much without you there. Everywhere I turned, there was a memory of you, of us. My life was nothing but heartache. I was in the middle of a storm, and I had no idea how to run from it. So I pretended everything was okay. I did what my parents expected me to do, and I went to A&M. But all I felt was pain. When I met Karina, I put on a good front for the first couple of months until I saw an Oregon football game, and your name was announced. You were the star player from Texas who walked on and made it at Oregon State. I found myself outside in the rain just standing there. The storm cloud had followed me, and I knew I would never be able to stop hurting. I stopped going to class. I partied, drank. And more than once, I almost did something I knew I would regret the rest of my life. My breath stalled in my chest. She smiled. But they weren't you, Steed. So I always walked away before anything happened. But the hurt kept growing, and I didn't know how to deal with it. Karina made me tell her everything. She's the only person I ever told about the baby and what happened. Well, besides the counselor I started going to. I finally learned. Covering her mouth, she closed her eyes. I walked up and put my hands on her arms. Paxton dropped her hands. I learned to grieve the loss of the baby and the only man I've ever loved. I closed my eyes and struggled to take in air. My lungs burned as each breath moved in and out painfully. I'm so sorry I wasn't there. Opening my eyes, I gazed into hers. The sadness told me Paxton was not done grieving. Paxton, if I could go back. I dragged in a shaky breath. If I could change how stupid and selfish and... I don't even know the words I'm looking for to describe what an asshole I was. But if I could go back to that day you told me you were pregnant, I would have never walked away. I fucked up twice, and there isn't anything I can do to take it back. She wiped her tears away. I know that. Lifting my hand, I pushed a piece of loose hair behind her ear. Paxton, I never stopped loving you. Her chin trembled.
Why did you move on then? I shook my head. I never moved on. With a frown, she glared. I'm sorry, what? Steed, you got married. You had a baby. You moved on. No, this is what I wanted to talk about. The other night at Cord's place, you didn't let me explain. Mom used to keep me up to date with what was going on with you. She'd ask your mom how you were. It killed her that you stopped coming around. Paxton sniffled. It killed me, too. I placed my hand on the side of her face, and I thought for sure she would move away, but she didn't. One day she told me you were dating Joe Miller. I didn't even know the fucker went to A&M. His mom told my mom she thought y'all were going to be getting engaged and that a wedding would follow soon after. Paxton's eyes widened in shock. What? Dropping my hand, I took a few steps back and leaned on the other counter across from Paxton. I went fucking insane with the thought of you marrying him. Hell, you simply dating him drove me crazy. All the guilt and anger I had tried to bury came rushing back. The thought that I walked away from the love of my life left me sick to my stomach. I told my mother I didn't want to hear anything else about you. I forbid her to talk about you, and if she brought you up, I'd threaten to hang up. Confusion laced her face. I met Kim at a party a few weeks after my mother told me you were getting engaged. She was supposed to make me forget, as fucked up as that sounds. I never felt a connection with her, but she was the total opposite of you. We dated for a bit, and I realized I needed to be honest with her. The night I was planning to break up with her was the same night her parents died. She was a mess for weeks. Her best friend talked me into asking her to marry me because she was afraid she would kill herself if she didn't have anything to look forward to. I felt so guilty, and if only I had known at the time all that guilt was for what happened with you and had nothing to do with Kim. I paused and took in another long, deep breath. At the same time, I was still angry about Joe and the idea of you dating him. I thought you had moved on, Paxton. Her brows pinched together. My heart was pounding so fucking hard in my chest as I tried to get everything out as fast as I could. I'd waited so long to tell Paxton everything. Now that I was standing in front of her, I was more scared than ever that she'd hate me even more. Taking in a deep breath, I continued. So I asked Kim, and we got married. It didn't take me long to realize what a huge fucking mistake it was. I told Kim I wanted a divorce. Then I called Mom, told her I was coming back to Texas as soon as I graduated and could get a divorce. I was going to try and work things out with you.
What?
Paxton covered her stomach and her mouth like she was about to get sick. Pax, are you okay? She shook her head.
No. I need to sit down.
Chapter 12. Paxton. I was going to be sick. Steed was going to come home. He was coming back for me. Sinking into the chair, I reached for the bottle of rum and went to take a drink when Steed took it.
Let me get you water instead, Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Each time he called me the pet name, my lower stomach pulled with want. Steed opened the refrigerator and looked around for the water. He handed me one, and I quickly took a drink. "Keep going," I managed to say. When his hand pushed through that dark brown hair, I had to hold back a moan.
Well, I told Kim I wanted a divorce. She had told me she was on birth control, but even after we got married, I kept using condoms.
The idea of Steed sleeping with another woman nearly killed me. I knew he had, of course, but hearing him say it hurt more than I ever dreamed. Was she not?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure she stopped taking them before we got married. From what I could piece together from her crazy-ass friends, Kim saw an article in Texas Monthly that had my parents listed as one of the wealthiest families in Texas. She started talking about us moving to Texas. I knew that was never going to happen. It was then I realized I was lying to myself. I was in love with you still, and I needed to get out of the marriage.
I swallowed, even though my throat felt like it was coated in cotton. But she was pregnant. Steed's eyes fell.
Yes. When she told me, I felt sick. The only thing I could think was how it was supposed to be you.
He slowly lifted his eyes to meet mine.
You were the woman I dreamed of marrying and having kids with, even after I left Texas. Kim was nothing but a mistake.
Pressing my lips together, I tried not to start crying again.
Then the guilt hit. Hard. As much as I wanted to tell her it didn't matter, I was too afraid to make the same mistake. I'd already told her about you, that I could never love her because I'd given my heart to another woman. She insisted the baby would change things. I knew it wouldn't. I was too afraid to upset her, though. If she lost the baby, it would be my fault. Again.
A tear slipped down his cheek, and my heart ached at the sight. Steed, it wasn't your fault. Our child wasn't meant to be. His head dropped, and I sat there stunned as I watched his shoulders rock while he cried.
Every damn day, I wake up and I think about it, Paxton. There's not a single day where I don't think about it. I need you to know that.
I couldn't move. I was frozen in place as I watched Steed grieve for our child. Covering my mouth, I cried along with him.
There was no fucking way I was doing it again. I couldn't live with myself.
My heart ached. He wiped his tears and looked back at me.
So I stayed, and she had the baby. And then I felt the guilt all over again, because I fell madly in love with this beautiful child. But she wasn't your child. I didn't know how to deal with that. I had planned on telling Kim I wanted a divorce after she had the baby, but I wasn't sure how the custody would work. When I did finally tell her, she threatened to take Chloe from me, and said I'd never be able to find them.
Steve took a few minutes to get his emotions in check as I sat there, silently crying as I tried to let everything soak in.
Kim never loved Chloe. The moment she was born, she pretty much had nothing to do with her. I learned pretty quick she was only after money. I tried like hell to get Chloe away. I begged Kim for a divorce. Each time I would bring it up, she would make the threats about taking the baby and say I'd never see them again. If I left the house without Chloe, I would wonder if my daughter would be there when I got home.
I shook my head as I tried to keep the bile down. How could a mother be so cruel? Poor Chloe.
For years, I tried to figure out how in the fuck to get away. One day, Dad came up with the whole idea of cutting me out of his will. It took a while to do it. I didn't want Kim knowing I was onto her. Dad made a fuss about me not coming back to Texas to help him full-time with the ranch. We pretended to fight about it, and he had fake documents sent to the house. I knew if Kim saw legal documents from Texas delivered to the house, she would open them. Dad had it arranged to have them sent while I was at a meeting at the office. The next day, she walked into my office at home with a lawyer, took out the legal documents, and signed her parental rights away. Her exact words were, "I wasted 7 years of my life on you. No more."
I gasped.
She didn't even say goodbye to Chloe. She just left.
Steve's hands ran down his face while he let out a gruff laugh.
It's so fucking confusing. I wish like hell I never walked away from you. But then I wouldn't have Chloe.
Closing his eyes, he sucked in a breath as he attempted to hold his emotions in. He failed. When he looked at me, his eyes spilled over with tears.
I have Chloe, but I don't have you. I have this amazing little girl whom I love, but I don't have the dream we both wanted. And the fucking vicious cycle of guilt keeps spinning around, and now here I am. And all I want to do is hold you in my arms and tell you how much I love you, Paxton. I've never stopped loving you. But I destroyed our dream. And I don't blame you if you hate me for that.
My entire body started to shake. Everything spun. I slowly stood and walked over to him. I couldn't help but notice how Steed held his breath as I stopped in front of him. I wanted more than anything for him to take me in his arms and hold me. Tell me everything was okay, because he was back. But he didn't. He didn't move as his gaze locked on mine. I took in a shaky breath, barely getting the words out. I did date Joe for a while, but we were far from being engaged. Knowing what I was about to say was going to cause Steed further hurt, I should have stopped, but I didn't, because everything needed to be out in the open for both of us to move on. I just wasn't sure if we would be moving on together or apart. I never even slept with him. There was no doubt I could see the sick feeling move across Steed's face.
What?
We dated on and off. It was never anything serious. I have no idea why his mother would say that to Melanie. I never even visited his parents while we dated. It was in that moment that everything came full circle. Every stupid thing we had said to each other in anger, every mistake we each had made, every single regret, out in the open. Steed covered his face with his hands and cried out as he slid down to the floor. He repeated the same three words while his body shook violently.
I'm so sorry.
My heart dropped to my stomach as I fell to the floor next to him. I'd never seen Steed cry like this. He pulled me into his arms and buried his face into me, his body shaking as he let all his emotions out.
Paxton, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Closing my eyes, I held on to Steed as he wrapped me tighter in his embrace. I had been wrong all those years. The storm cloud hadn't only been over me. It had been over Steed as well. Steed and I had been sitting on my kitchen floor for the last 30 minutes, neither of us saying a word. I cried until I no longer had tears left, and I was pretty sure the same was true for him. Leaning against the cabinets, I turned to look at him. His head was resting against the cabinet as he stared straight ahead. My chest tightened at the sight of this man sitting next to me. I still loved him. Probably more than ever after what had just happened here. But I was still hurting, and I had no idea when I would be able to open my heart again. Steed finally spoke.
There was this quote I read one time that always stuck with me.
What was it? I asked.
Fear is temporary. Regret is forever.
He turned and caught my gaze.
I'm never going to let fear lead me down the road to regret ever again, Paxton.
His eyes dropped to my mouth, where I instinctively licked my lips.
I love you, Pax. I've never stopped loving you, and I'll love you until the day I take my last breath.
Dragging in a shaky breath, I whispered, Steed, I... He held up his hand.
Wait, let me finish, please.
Reaching for my hands, he guided me up along with him. Standing face to face, he searched my face with such an intense look, it caused me to shudder.
I don't know where life is going to lead us, but I know I won't stop fighting for us, Paxton. If it takes me the rest of my life, I'll earn your forgiveness and love back.
My heart had never beat so fast or so hard in my entire life. I had been fighting the urge to kiss him since he first walked into my classroom. I was tired of fighting. One kiss. That's all I wanted. All I needed. Who am I kidding? I needed this man. Taking a step closer, I captured his beautiful blue eyes with mine. You never lost my love, Steed. His hands reached up and cupped my face. Just one kiss. Slowly moving closer, his eyes drifted to my mouth once more. I silently begged him to kiss me as he grew closer and closer. When his lips finally brushed against mine, I let out a soft moan. It was a slow and tender kiss, and my body came to life. Reaching up on my toes, I deepened the kiss a little more. Steed groaned into my mouth before pulling back just enough to break the kiss. He rested his forehead on mine and sighed. "I'm sorry," he whispered. Closing my eyes, I replied, "Don't say that. Not when I know we both wanted it." The doorbell rang, and we both jumped. I felt lightheaded and needed to grab onto the kitchen island to steady myself. Steed's eyes looked hungry with desire, but his expression was sad. When the person rang the bell again, then knocked, I cleared my throat. "I better get that." He simply nodded while his fingers pushed through his hair. Shit, he is so damn hot when he does that. Focusing on trying to get my breathing under control, I opened the door without looking to see who it was. My eyes widened in shock. "Joe?" A wide grin moved across his face as he purred, "Hey, beautiful. Miss me?"
Chapter 13. Steed. The pounding in my chest was echoing in my ears. I hadn't needed the kiss to remind me of how much I loved Paxton, but when our lips met and our bodies rushed with energy, I knew deep in my heart that this was the woman I would love for the rest of my life. She was the reason my heart beat. When the doorbell rang, I silently thanked God. It was taking every ounce of strength not to pick up Paxton and lay her over the island and bury my dick inside of her. The constant battle between my head and my heart was getting exhausting. I reached down and adjusted my rock-hard dick. "Jesus, get a grip, Parker," I whispered to myself as I walked to the bottle of rum. I poured a shot into the glass and went to drink it when I stilled at a familiar voice.
"Joe?"
"Hey, beautiful. Miss me?"
"What in the fuck is he doing here?"
I tossed the shot back and set the glass on the counter. Paxton stood there in silence for a little longer than I would have liked.
Joe, now isn't really a good time."
His eyes lifted and met mine. When his smile faded, mine grew bigger. "That's right, motherfucker. I'm back." He let out a gruff laugh and said, "Steed Parker, I heard you were back in town. Planning on sticking around this time?" "Asshole. I sure do." Paxton cleared her throat and stepped in front of Joe as he attempted to walk in.
"Now's not a good time, Joe."
"Nonsense. Looks like you're having a bit of a reunion here." Walking around the island, I made my way into the living room. "And I don't believe you were invited." Paxton glanced over her shoulder.
"Steed, I can handle this."
Joe laughed again.
"So, you think you can ride on back into town and pick up where you left off?"
"Excuse me," Paxton said as she placed her hand on Joe's chest. "I think you need to leave now, Joe."
He looked down at her, and then back at me.
"You've got a lot of nerve showing up here, Parker."
It was my turn to laugh.
"You don't even know why I'm here, asshole."
"That's enough, both of you. Stop. Joe, I'm asking you nicely. Please leave."
A frustrated expression moved across his face as he glared, and then finally focused in on Paxton while pushing himself into her house. He grabbed her by her upper arms and shook his head as he spoke.
"Why, Paxton, why would you let this lowlife back into your life? He left you, remember? He doesn't love you, and never did. All you were was a sex thing for him to play with until he found something better."
I walked up to him and grabbed him by the shirt, pulling him away from Paxton.
"Fuck off, you son of a bitch!"
I hit him in the face, causing him to stumble back. Paxton screamed and rushed to Joe.
"Steed, are you crazy?"
"He had his hands on you, Paxton. I'm not gonna let him touch you and say bullshit things like that."
Joe wiped the blood from his mouth as he glared at me from the floor. Paxton was kneeling down next to him. Why she gave a shit how he was, I couldn't imagine. I pointed at him.
"You ever say something like that again and I'll..."
"Enough!"
Paxton cried out.
"Steed, I think you need to leave."
My eyes widened in shock.
"What? Why the fuck do I need to leave? He's the one who came bursting in here and manhandled you. I could have handled it,